Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Amen. And this is one verse out of the book of Job. If you get time, go back and read some more of it. Nobody went through more than what Job did. But the Bible said he was a perfect an upright man that feareth God and escheweth evil. And here he is, and if you read back at the beginning of this chapter, he was talking to his friends, and he said, "Do you see where the Lord has me?" He said, "I call on my servant, and there's no answer. My wife has turned away. I don't have anything that I used to have," just my words. "And just look at the shape that I'm in." But after he said all that, he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." Amen. So for the Lord to help me for just a few minutes, and you pray. I don't want to be long and drawn out. I don't want to hold you long. I just want to say what the Lord would have me to say, and that's all. But if the Lord will help me for just a few minutes, I'd like to preach, "You Need a Redeemer." And you may be unfamiliar with that term. What does it mean to be redeemed? What is that, to be redeemed? Well, I'm just going to start with a little story. And this will tell my age, and some of you may remember this. Long before the company Food City owned all of the grocery stores, there used to be one called White Stores. And when I was a boy, they gave out books. And every time you bought groceries, they gave out what they called green stamps. And you would save those green stamps, and you would put it in that book that they gave you. And when you got so many, they had a little catalog that you could flip through. This was before the internet, if you can imagine that. And we'd flip through that book, and we'd find things in that book we would like to have. And we'd save, Mom would buy groceries, she'd bring home the green stamps, I'd lick them, I'd put them in that book. We'd save book after book after book, and it took a whole bunch. But once you got enough, you could take those books and you could redeem them for what you wanted. And we got several little things that way. See, that's what it means to be redeemed, to be exchanged. To have one thing and trade it in and get something else. To get something better than what you had. So you see, we all need a Redeemer. Well, why do I need a Redeemer? Because we were born under a curse. The curse of sin was on every one of us. And did you know we're all sinners? Every one of us. Your pastor is a sinner. Your deacons are sinners. Their wives are sinners. These preacher men and their wives are sinners. And the only thing that made them any different from the vilest and the meanest of men and women is they found a Redeemer. They found somebody to exchange their sin for an eternal salvation. They found somebody that could wash that iniquity off of them. The filth and the nastiness of sin could be washed off, could be traded for holiness, could be traded for salvation, could be traded for a home of glory when this life is over. You see, the curse of sin was on each and every one of us. It's in our nature. How do I become a sinner? When we come to know good from evil, we become a sinner in the government of God. But we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to live that way. We don't have to let sin take us to that awful place called hell. Amen. You can be redeemed. You can exchange that sin for a home in glory. Amen. When this life is over, if you just meet the Redeemer.
Amen.
That's right. All right. Amen. This is what the Bible said, that we were all cursed, but Jesus became our Redeemer. How did he do that? Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Amen.
You can't buy your way out of it. Now, going back to my little story, they had a little side store, and John used to work up there. He probably remembers. It was called the White Way. And it was up on the upper end of Newport. And the white stores was here, and the White Way was here. And you didn't go in there and spend money. You went in there and you spent stamps. So when we got enough stamps, here I'd go with that stack full of books to get me a little something that I had saved for. I couldn't purchase anything in that store with money. I had to buy it with the stamps that I had saved for their redemption. You can't purchase salvation with money. You can't get rid of your sin with money. How do you know, preacher? For we are not redeemed by silver and gold, but by the blood of the Lamb. And let me just let you in on a little secret. It was foreordained from the foundation of the world. When he said, let us make man. You want to go a little farther? Let's read over where we read about Abraham and Lot and how that he went up on the mountain to sacrifice Isaac, his son. And Isaac said, here, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. But where is the sacrifice? Here came the Redeemer. Abraham said, God will provide him a lamb. You want to know about the Redeemer? He was from the foundation of the world. John saw him over there. But he said he saw in the midst of the throne, and there stood a lamb. That was him. That was the Redeemer. And he came to pay the price for our sin. Let me let you in on a little secret. Oh, listen now. I told you I couldn't spend any money in that white way store. I had to spend stamps. And to get salvation, I couldn't purchase it with gold and silver. But I had to be covered under the blood of the Lamb. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You can't get saved unless you get covered in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, preacher, that's an awful gory picture. I'm not talking about pouring over your head and your shoulders.
No.
It's like the song says, His blood is on my soul.
Yeah.
The Lord's only coming back after that left heaven. Did you know that? He's coming after the blood of Jesus and the soul that came from the breath of his nostrils.
Yeah.
That's what he's coming after. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You need a redeemer. A redeemer. Somebody that can take your sins and exchange them for salvation. Somebody that can take your meanness, your vileness, your human, and exchange that for eternal life. You need a redeemer. Oh. Ruth needed a redeemer. Have you read about Ruth? She needed a redeemer. Who was Ruth? Ruth was a little Moabite woman that was fortunate enough to marry into somebody's family that needed a redeemer. Naomi and her husband, there was a famine. This is a good lesson right here. You bear with me for just a minute. Listen, we're not always up on the mountain. Amen? Sometimes we're down in the valley. Sometimes you just have to trudge along and ask Jesus to help you for the very next step that you take. Sometimes we're down in the valley. It was a time down in Bethlehem, Judah, when they were down in the valley. There was a famine in the land. And Naomi and her husband had heard that there was bread over in Moab. So they packed up and they left Bethlehem, Judah. If we're down in the valley, if we're up on the mountain, stay with Bethlehem, Judah.
Amen.
If Naomi could speak to you right now, she'd say how much she regretted leaving Bethlehem, Judah. If she didn't realize what she was going to lose, she didn't realize the turns her life was going to take. She didn't realize what death was going to do to her family. She left with her husband and two sons. And whenever she came back, the husband had died. When she came back, her two sons had married women that were of a different religion, of a different faith, and they both died. And she was left alone with the two daughters-in-law. And she said, why don't you just go back to your family? And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law and went back to her family. But there was a little Moabite woman named Ruth that was a daughter-in-law, and she loved her mother-in-law. And she said, where you go, I'll go. And where you lodge, I'll lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. What she didn't realize, what she needed, a redeemer. What you don't realize is you need a redeemer, sinner friend. I'm here to tell you today, God provided one in His Son Jesus.
Amen.
You need a redeemer. Naomi needed a redeemer. Ruth needed a redeemer. You need a redeemer.
That's right.
All right. They went back to Bethlehem, Judah. Trying my best to hurry. I know it's late. And some of the folks recognized Naomi when she came back. And she said, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. I've lost my husband. You know, some people, they don't care about the church. And we're living in a day, and it just about makes me sick. People want to make fun of the church, make light of the church, make fun of the way we live, the way we believe. They'll wish one day they had a redeemer. Oh, she said, the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. I've lost my husband. I've lost my two sons. Now here I am, an old lady. All I've got's one little old daughter-in-law. But I'm back. Did you ever stop to think, Naomi, if you had left Bethlehem, Judah, the shape you might have been in?
Right.
We don't like to think about it, but God don't want to put up with us whenever we're disobedient.
Right.
Did you know that? We have lived to a day, and I probably won't give many amens on this, we think we can live however we want to live, and God's just going to pour His blessings out on us.
Amen.
It don't work that way.
No,
did He not say, be ye holy,
amen,
for I am holy? We raise our hands a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If I asked you to raise your hand, if you wanted to be a Christian or if you were a Christian, nearly every hand in the house would go up.
Mm-hmm.
But can we prove it?
Yes.
Do we live like it?
Amen.
To be a Christian means to be Christ-like.
Amen.
He was a man that knew no sin. We all know it, don't we?
Amen.
Some of us are intimately familiar with it.
Yeah.
Some of us are eat up with it. Now, is that a Christian? That don't mean that I'm not saved. That don't mean that I'm not going to heaven. But did you know there's a circumstance that's called being backslid? Where you're out of the will of the Lord? You might say that was what Naomi was in. She was backslid. She had walked away from the Lord. She had walked away from the church. And she was in an awful state. You know what she did when she found herself in that awful state? No husband, no son, no way of providing. She went back to the only thing she knew, to the last time she felt peace in her heart, to the last time she knew some folks that loved her and where they were at. She went back down to the church. If you walked away from her, we're still here and we still love you. And I need a huge amen on that.
Amen.
Amen.
exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't care if they called you everything but human. I don't care if they mistreated you and took your money and talked about you like a dog. It's your responsibility as the children of God to love them and pray for them.
Amen.
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 That's pretty sad, I know.
Yeah.
Good, man.
I'll never watch what you're saying.
Right.
I've had to eat words before of you.
Amen. Yeah.
They don't taste good. All right. Trying my best to hurry. I'm not going to apologize to preaching you the gospel.
No, bless you. Hey.
Ruth and Naomi needed a redeemer. So Naomi remembered that she had a kinsman. And she set Ruth down. And she told Ruth, she said, I want you to go down there to Boaz's field. He's a kinsman. And after they've gone through the crops and they've collected all they want to collect and they've harvested all they want to harvest, I want you to ease in there real quiet and see if you can get just a little bit for us. See if you can get what we need so that we won't starve. And the man that was working the harvest for Boaz noticed her. And Boaz noticed her. Let me just say this. You may think you can come in, sit through the service, and go out unnoticed. The church is singing, and we love you. And we want you to be fed. Amen.
Amen.
More than that, the Lord has seen you,
yeah,
and He loves you, and He's got a Redeemer for you.
Amen.
Now pray on for just a minute. When Boaz noticed Ruth, he called for and had her come to him. I'm going to tell you what Boaz told Ruth. Don't go to any other field.
Amen. That's right.
Stay right here.
Yeah.
You come to our field. You can glean anytime you want to. Don't go anywhere else. Just come on down to the Dutch Bottoms and field and you can glean. And you know what else Boaz did? I believe it was 6 measures that he got and he poured out to her. He said, here, you take this, and you feed your mother-in-law, and you eat out of it. Oh, I'm here to tell you. I'm so glad there's something that you can feed off of down at that bottom.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Trying my best to hurry. She took them back to Naomi. Naomi said, Ruth, here's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be down at the wine press. And I want you to go in.
Bless
his heart. When he's in there asleep, I want you to lay down at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people would be perverse about that. You need to read the book.
Mm-hmm.
You need to read what Boaz had to say about Ruth. Boaz told her, he said, you've not chased after these young men, but everybody in Bethlehem, Judah knows about your integrity. They know the life you live.
Mm-hmm.
They talked. And Boaz said, you need somebody to redeem the land that Naomi's husband and her sons had for you. He said, I can't do that because there's a kinsman that's more nearer than me. But he said, I'll go talk to him for you. He won't do you any good to talk to the pastor. I can't redeem you.
That's right.
But I know one that's nearer.
Amen.
How dear is he, preacher?
Amen.
He's one that sticketh closer than a brother.
That's right.
That's how
Amen.
Close he is.
Bless him, Lord.
Boaz went and talked to the gentleman, and he said, I can't redeem him because it would bar my inheritance. But he sat here, and he took his shoe off, as the manner was, the tradition was, and he gave it to Boaz. You know how we got redeemed. God sent his only begotten son. He said, here, son, you go. You pay the price. Why did he have to come, preacher? Why did he have to redeem us? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, we had to have a blood sacrifice. Blood that wasn't polluted. Blood that wasn't stained by sin. Blood that was pure. Blood that you don't sin. And the only one that had that was Jesus. So Boaz went. Boaz paid the price for redemption for Naomi and for Ruth. A little Moabite woman that didn't know anything about redemption. A little Moabite woman that didn't know anything about the ways of the people of Bethlehem, Judah. A little Moabite woman that served another god. The Bible says, no man lived to himself and no man died to himself. I was at work Thursday and I ran across this little lady right here. She was talking to a girl. You know, I didn't know who that girl was. So you run into inner people and you interact with people that I don't know. You do too. You do too. No man liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. And you've heard the statement made, and there's some truth to it. For some people, the only Bible they see is your life.
That's right.
I told you, Satan bothers me just like he does you. When it's late in the morning and I get up, he fights me with that. But I'm determined to preach the gospel. All right. They needed a redeemer. Amen. So Boaz paid the price for them. They got their land. Naomi was provided for the rest of her days. And Boaz married a little Moabite woman named Ruth. We talk about Jesus coming down through the lineage of David. Did you know the Gentiles were included in that? Because Ruth bore Boaz a son. And he was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David, who was in the lineage and the ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God included us in the plan.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
See, one night a long time ago, I needed a redeemer. You needed a redeemer. If you're here lost and undone without the Lord, you need a redeemer. You need salvation.
Right. Bless you.
I can dunk you.
Bless you.
But the water ain't going to wash your sins away.
That's right.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Water baptism is not enough to go to heaven.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You can be raised in the church. You can know every article of the 18 articles of faith. You can know all 10 commandments. You can quote scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and die and go to hell. Now, I'm a little bit different. I know that. I get made fun of, and I know that. People don't like it because I raise my voice, because I move around a little bit. Satan, when I first started, this is where I started at, Philip, right here. Right here. And Satan bothered me because I didn't move.
And when I got to, I could move around a little bit, he bothered me because I couldn't stay back there. I know I get made fun of because I raised my voice, but I've got something that I can't help but get excited about. I've got something that's going to I've been redeemed. I've been saved by the grace of God. My sins are washed away. They've been forgiven. He exchanged my filthy, dirty, blackened sin for a soul as white, washed it white in the blood of the Lamb. He gave me a clean white robe to wear and a home in heaven when this life is over. If that's not worth raising your voice a little bit, running a little, getting excited, I don't know what is.
Amen.
We've been saved, Dutch bottoms. Rejoice. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody preached it here just in the last service or two.
Bless you, Lord.
I ain't preached since last Sunday morning, so you're getting a full week's worth.
Amen.
Somebody preached it just the last service or two.
Bless you, Lord.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It was Gary. Mm-hmm. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mm-hmm. If you don't have something worth sharing, then you don't have something.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Now don't be judgmental, preacher. I'm not. I'm just looking at the fruit.
Amen.
All right.
Happy moment.
Let me close. You see, one time when I was a 8-year-old boy, lost and undone without the Lord, on my way to hell, and I very well knew it. And I've told you, and you've heard my testimony, from this end of the pew to that end of the pew. In one Sunday night service, I became a sinner. Went home as guilty as I could be. Afraid to die. It wouldn't have done any good if we could have bought it with money, because my family didn't have any. It wouldn't have done any good because my family didn't have a well-established name. You see, I had to have a redeemer if I was going to escape hell.
Amen. Right.
You know number 92 in the green book? Oh, yes, Christ Jesus spoke to me. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
When I was laying there in my bed, the Redeemer spoke to me. He said, I've got something for you.
Amen.
Yes. He said, if you don't want to die and go to hell, go ask your daddy if he'd pray with you. Best thing I ever did, John.
Amen.
We was raised strict. And when mom and dad put you to bed, that's where you stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And I eased it there. Preacher, we've already heard this. Well,
bless
it don't mean as much to you as it does me.
Bless you,
I tapped Dad on the shoulder. I said, Daddy, would you pray with me? I want to be saved. He didn't get upset.
Amen.
He didn't fuss at me because I was out of bed. He just got out of bed, and we got down beside that little half bed that I was sleeping in. And I prayed.
Yes.
Well, how do you get redeemed? You ask for it.
Amen. That's right.
Aren't you glad it's not complicated?
Amen. Yeah.
See, I was a little dumb 8-year-old boy, and I'm still not very smart. But I was smart enough to say, Jesus, please save me. Maybe I preached here at your dad's funeral. I mentioned Herman Clark, and you old-timers here at Dutch Bottoms remember Herman. He was mentally challenged. He had a speech impediment. He was missing the roof of his mouth. And you had to listen very carefully to see what he was telling you. And some people might say, well, he didn't have enough intelligence. Let me tell you, I've seen him in service. I've seen tears rolling down his face. And I've seen him run down the altar.
Yeah.
And fall down and pray. Yeah. And then go and hug somebody's neck if he thought they was upset at him or if he got upset at them. He believed in fixing things and making things right. That's more than most of us mentally capable people believe in nowadays. Did you know that? We're eaten up with pride.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
See, Herman was able to get saved. And I was too. Mm-hmm. Herman met the Redeemer. And I did too.
Amen. Yeah.
About a mile and a half that way, just across the bridge on the right, I met the Redeemer. And he took my sins. Well, preacher, you're just a little bitty boy. But I was just as lost as the meanest, vilest man that there was. Some of you may not like this. I was just as lost as Popcorn Sutton was. Didn't matter that I was a little bitty boy. Lost is lost. I said, Jesus, please save me. I didn't know what to pray, Jason. I didn't. And I still don't know how to. Did you know that? I used when I was a boy. And if I called her name, some of you would remember them. I've heard old time preachers pray and it just ring the walls. Their voices just call out with a fervor and an intensity that you knew it was coming from the heart. And I couldn't do that. But it doesn't matter what comes out here anyway. It's what comes from here.
Amen.
The Bible didn't say he was close to my mouth. He said it was close to my heart.
Amen.
He's nigh to them that are of a broken heart. That's where the Redeemer is. He's as far as just a whisper. If you whisper to him, I'm glad I called on him. I'm glad he heard my cry. And he'll hear yours.
Amen.
I believe last Sunday night, this young man right here met the Redeemer. Got saved by the grace of God. And that's last Sunday. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus, today can be your day. He can redeem you from your sin. He can save your soul from hell. He can make you a home in glory when this life is over. Is he going to fix everything that you've got? No, because if it's your mess, you'll have to clean it up yourself. But he'll give you grace to get through it and do it. I had a deacon at Round Mountain. He was an alcoholic and a drug addict. Mike Elkins is a pastor. Mike preached, and his name is Scott Ellison. He's been here. He got saved on a Sunday morning. And when he got home, the beer was still in his refrigerator. All that junk that he had had in his life was still there. And you know what he did? He opened every can of it, poured it down the sink, put the cans in the trash, and never bought another six-pack. He never took a bunch of drugs after that. The Lord cleaned him up.
Amen.
Did he have hard times? Yes, he did. I've heard him. He was a truck driver. Still is. And I heard him make a testimony how that he'd have to stop, and that was before cell phones. He'd have to get up to a payphone and call his wife and ask beggar to pray for him. He was having a hard time, and he was being tempted. See, Satan, if Satan don't bother you, it's a pretty good sign he's got you already. But see, he believed God's word where it says resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He made a deacon. Got a good testimony, good spiritual testimony. He don't glorify the beer and the drugs either.
Amen.
He glorifies the Redeemer.
Amen. Yeah.
All right. You need a redeemer. You need a savior. The world will say you're all right just like you are. The world will say you're young. You live a life. Do what you want to do. Be who you want to be. And then when you get old, you can trust Jesus. Mm-hmm. Did you know you have to have conviction in your heart before you can be saved? Mm-hmm. Did you know you have to be sorrowful before you can be saved? Mm-hmm. He has to draw. He has to draw. Did you know, Dutch Bottoms, we've got a part in that?
Yeah.
Did you know you've got a responsibility, Dutch Bottoms?
Yeah.
Here's our responsibility. Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Do you want your people to be saved?
Amen.
Lift up Jesus.
Amen.
That's not just on the preacher. That's not just on the deacons. That's on us all.
Amen.
You pastor, were you on the top of the mountain every service you went in when you pastored?
No.
Well, guess what? I'm not either. You don't have to be a pastor. Most of you are regular. Are you always on the mountain?
No.
Your pastor ain't either. But here's what we got to do. Leave that outside the doors and lift up Jesus when we get in here.
Amen.
Let us lay, you need scripture. Let us lay aside the weight.
Mm-hmm.
You may have been as faithful as the day is long, but the world has just been laid on your shoulders.
Right.
You may have prayed, done all you could do to get to the Lord and the way of the world just right here.
Amen.
When we come here, we've got to find a way to lay it aside.
That's right.
And if we can't get it off our shoulders before we come in the door, we can lay it down at His feet. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen.
Let me finish that verse. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. I can't live like the devil and lift up Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That does so easy to set us and run with patience the race that is set before us.
Amen.
I have a world of respect for John Dyke. I've seen him witness. I've heard his testimony. I felt the power of God in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He's just a man.
Oh.
And whenever he was lost and undone, he needed a redeemer.
Amen.
Got a world of respect for Marty Costner. I've seen the power of God in his life. I know he reads and studies his Bible because I've heard him teach Sunday school. But when he was a little boy down at Baptist Calvary Tabernacle, he needed a redeemer. This fellow's your Sunday school superintendent. I felt the power of God in his life. But one Sunday a long time ago, he brought all his sins right here. And he met a redeemer. You need a redeemer. You're not going to make it through this life without one. You're not going to make it to heaven without one. Any man that would climb up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You know what they do with thieves and robbers, don't you? They're people who don't belong. And they get kicked out. They get locked up. They get in chains. And I know Brady sang the song, "Break Every Chain." You know the chains that won't be broken? The chains of hell. When you're down there suffering for eternity. He gave you opportunity this morning. He's giving it to you right now. To break those chains. Now you can sit real still, you can be right quiet, you can slip out the door still lost and undone without a redeemer.
Amen.
Or you can search your heart and ask the Lord. Listen for Him. He's nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and will save such as be of a contrite spirit. Listen to this verse. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart.
Amen.
The world says we got this, this, and this to do just this afternoon. We've always got time for somebody to be saved. Did you know that?
Amen.
Come play a song.
Amen.